Here they are, the top stories of the day, every day, presented to you at 4 o'clock, the halfway point to the Burns and Gambo show. Lorenzo Alexander filling in for Gambo today. Here are your top stories of the day. Suns are back in action tonight. They travel to Cleveland to take on the Cavaliers, looking to extend their win streak to 14 straight. You can catch that one on ESPN 620 and 98.7 HG2. Zoe, as the Suns, already the tied for the third longest win streak, trying to get closer to the second longest win streak in franchise history tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I wish I was at home watching the beginning of the game, but I'll be,
Put it on in here. Don't you worry about it.
But I can't. I'm facing you, so the TVs are behind me for the people that can't, don't know familiar with this room. But, just want to see how they continue to come out, continue to get better, continue to improve as a basketball team. And so I'm excited for the game tonight.
ASU men's basketball, their first game of the Battle for Atlantis tournament tonight at 5:30. They're going to take on the reigning champion of college basketball, sixth-ranked Baylor, and they will be without forward Marcus Bagley in this game tonight. A very uneven start so far for ASU basketball and Bobby Hurley.
Yeah, I wish I followed him a little bit more. I don't.
Yeah.
I'm a Cal grad, so I don't really follow too much of ASU of anything. I know where I'm at, where I live at, but I got to rep Cal Bears until I die.
Well, then I'll tell you right now that we'll turn our attention to ASU football, and I can respect that.
Yeah.
Biggest rivalry game of the year this coming up this weekend in Arizona, ASU versus U of A football on Saturday. U of A looking for a little bit of revenge after a 70-7 loss last year that is still immortalized on a billboard halfway between Phoenix and Tucson. Jed Fish, even though he wasn't the coach of the team then, says, oh yeah, we remember
it. There's an obvious animosity toward one another, and then clearly, when it's 63-7 and you call a pass on 4th and 4, there's something to that. So, we remember.
Lorenzo Alexander's over there laughing, right?
That's just straight disrespect. And, I got to play in the Cal Stanford, the axe, the big game. And so I definitely understand that. Cal just beat Stanford 41-11 last week. And you always remember. You always remember those little things. And anytime, that was just disrespectful by Herm just to throw a pass last year on him like that. But it's part of it.
Yeah, it's funny in that this game, it doesn't have that much bearing for ASU. Yeah, you'd like to beat your in-state rival. Of course, you always would. But in terms of what bowl they game go to or where they finish, there's not a lot of meaning here. If U of A is able to, and I know U of A is not good at all, but if they're able to win, this is their bowl game, right? This is their, you've played in these rivalry games before, right? You can give yourself a good feeling about an awful season if you're U of A. If you win this game, be careful if you're ASU going into Saturday's game. Just telling you, be very careful about this game, because they are going to want to make a statement by beating you guys.
Definitely agree. I was on a 1-11 Cal team, went to Stanford, laying everything on the line trying to win that game.
Did
so
you?
Watch out. Yeah.
Did you win?
No, we got whooped. but the 1-2 in the heart and the intentionality was there, but they were just better than us.
Some NFL news. 4 days after suffering a concussion in Sunday's loss to the Kansas City Chiefs, Dallas Cowboys wide receiver CeeDee Lamb back on track to play Thursday against the Las Vegas Raiders. This isn't the best news for the Cardinals, because they're, the Dallas Cowboys, one of those teams in the NFC they're competing with. We assume Amari Cooper's not going to play, but it looks like they might get CeeDee Lamb back for the Thursday game tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day against the Raiders.
Yeah, obviously that helps. This game should be won on the ground by Zeke Elliott. If you watched the Raider game last week versus the Bengals at all, Joe Mixon came out there and was able to run that rock. So it's good to have CeeDee Lamb back, because maybe they can't stack the box, but it should go through Zeke anyway.
The other Thanksgiving Day games tomorrow, the Lions taking on the Bears in the morning. Of course, the Bears.
Who was that? Andy Dalton. And who's the other? I don't even know who the other starter is. Butler or something?
Jared Goff, isn't it?
I don't think.
Is Goff not even?
I don't think Goff is playing. I saw something that said he wasn't playing. Maybe he is. But
I don't know. You might be right.
Andy Dalton versus another quarterback.
We got Eric on this one, because I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't been paying a lot of attention to what the Lions are going to do, other than the fact they haven't won a game this year. That's the morning game. And, of course, the Cardinals, you keep an eye on that one, because the Bears are up next for you a week and a half. The Cowboys taking on, he's questionable. Okay, Goff is questionable.
Oh, yeah.
And then the night game, the Saints taking on the Bills.
Yeah, that should be good.
That should be a good game. The Saints are they've hit a wall.
Yeah, and they're beat up right now. So it's good in the sense that obviously I enjoy the Bills getting them back on track because they play the Saints this week. Then they have the Patriots next week. So this would be a good game for them to kind of figure out who they are versus a wounded Saints team.
Yep. But our top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo show with Zoe filling in for Gambo, Chandler Jones, who, as Cliff Kingsbury talked about on Wolf and Luke, he is definitely hitting his stride.
It was. He's been playing at a high level. The production on sacks just hasn't shown up for him, but pressures have been there. The run game he's been tremendous. And yesterday he was able to get home a few more times, which was really good to see.
Today named NFC Defensive Player of the Week for the second time this year. Two sacks, a forced fumble, a tackle for loss this past week in the win against Seattle. And at least from a sack standpoint, he was back, Zoe. But that's not the only standpoint that you're measuring Chandler Jones with.
No, and when you turn on the film and you just heard Cliff talk about it right there, the sack numbers haven't showed up. He hasn't been able to get home, but he's impacting the game. You know, whether it's pressures, hitting the quarterback. That affects how a quarterback thinks and how fast he wants to get the ball out. So then Byron Murphy or Wilson can benefit, or Buda Baker or Jalen Thomas can benefit on the back end from maybe getting a bad ball thrown and getting an interception, which I believe this team, I know J.J. was a part of it. Obviously, he's not playing, and Marcus Golden. And I think Chandler was one of the guys, too, that was ranked pretty high as far as creating turnovers pressure, right?
Yeah.
And so that's what teams, when we sit down in the meeting room on Thursday to go over third down, it's about affecting the quarterback, whether it's a sack or a pressure or hitting, getting a strip. You want to impact him so he has to worry about you versus looking at his receivers down the field. And so whatever that looks like, it's always beneficial to the defense. And Chandler Jones has been doing that the entire season. I think we've just gotten caught up with that five-sack game, right? Yeah. He started off out of the gate. Ooh, five sacks, man. He's going to have like 30 this season, right? And now, because that number dropped off, well, he must have disappeared. What's going on? He did miss two games in that stint, too. I think that kind of got him a little rusty. He had to get back into his groove a little bit, too. Versus like J.J. Watt, who didn't have the sack numbers initially, but we talked about his impact much differently, even though Chandler was having a similar season when he was in there playing those games.
Yeah, it is funny. We were kind of willing to use the lack of sacks, not as an excuse for J.J., but as sort of a, hey, you know what, he's not sacking the quarterback, but man, look at what else he's doing. For Chandler, it did seem like his production was definitely being measured more directly by, are you sacking the quarterback or are you not? And I don't know if that's I don't
it's
know.
It's the five sacks.
I don't know why.
It's the nature of the five sacks.
Right. You have five sacks in week one. It's like, okay, go do that
that's
again.
That's the standard.
Right?
That's the expectation at that point.
You had mentioned after that five sack game that you texted Gambo, who normally sits here, and said, man, pay that dude now, right?
That's, yeah.
And so that leads to this. And I know we got six games before the end of the regular season, the playoffs. This is a decision that's way down the road. I do wonder how these next six games will impact Chandler Jones and whether he's here or whether he's not. You know, I wonder how much of his performance over this next month and a half will dictate his return and how badly the Cardinals want him back.
I mean, significantly. I mean, because I believe as he continues to play better, continues to stack up the sacks and because sacks come in bunches, as we saw in week one with the five and last week had two and a strip sack and just being dominant. As he continues to do that, that's going to help this team win. And people always want to poach players off of winning teams.
Yeah.
So they're going to go to the playoffs. If they make a significant run, that's when you start having these, mid-level teams or teams that, for whatever reason, have a significant amount of cap space that come in and offer you the world, unless they want to franchise tag him to keep him there, right? I don't know how they feel about doing that with defensive ends, knowing the number that's going to be at, right, knowing what other defensive ends make. So I've always been a guy, if you pay a guy early, you may pay over a little bit, but at least you know he's going to be there and you don't have to compete with other numbers, because at some point there's a breaking point. And that's why I'm always in that mind frame of taking care of a guy early, maybe pay a little bit more than you want to, but you're not going to have to pay something crazy.
When he hits the open market.
Right. And he has a lot of years left. What is Chandler, 32?
32.
I mean, that's another 4 years in Chandler. The way he plays, the way he takes care of his body, he has another 4 years in there.
It's funny because, like, old NFL fans like me, not old, but old enough.
You'd be like, oh, that's old. That's old. 32?
Well, you do. You should go 32. You go, man, that's it, right?
No.
And in today's NFL,
it's different
with how much they've backed off on practice, how much contact they've taken out of practice. Guys are eating better. They're sleeping better. They're taking better care of their bodies.
Yeah.
32 in today's NFL is not what 32 was back in that late 80s,
no.
The early 90s. Totally different right
not
now.
Not even in the early 2000s before this new CBA. I'm a bridge player. I played in 2005 was my first year. I had John Fox, but my worst coach was 2007 with Joe Gibbs as far as the physicality.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have two-a-day practices, right, all through training camp, physical, 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 get to the regular season. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we had inside run, physical, 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 through week 17, right? And so that's every day pounding your body like that. Now, you don't have double days. You hit on Wednesdays traditionally. Thursday, the pads come off. Friday is a fast Friday.
Yeah.
And you're not hitting after you take the pads off after 14 padded practices. So it's just naturally that you're going to extend on top of Chandler Jones being the type of elite athlete that he is and the professional that he is.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo Show, Zoe filling in for Gambo, despite being better, it's no secret the Suns just aren't getting the national media attention that teams like the Lakers or the Nets get. But for Mikal Bridges, he simply does not care. And you'll hear about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show. It was our own Aaron Maloney earlier today here on the station who had said if it were the LA Lakers going for their 14th straight win tonight, whether the Brooklyn Nets going for their 14th straight win tonight, oh man, it'd be right. It'd be all over the place. Instead, it's the Phoenix Suns going for their 14th straight win tonight, and so that, and Lorenzo Alexander's filling in for Gambo here, and so it prompted this conversation that I know has gotten a lot of play, and a lot of Suns fans are talking about this. Here's Mikal Bridges, Suns wingman, on the Old Man and the Three podcast, which is hosted by J.J. Redick. And J.J. kind of baited him into this, not a bad way, just they were having a conversation about the Suns being overlooked.
With the way the season ended, do you feel like you're being overlooked as a contender in the West this year?
I guess so. I really don't care about that. That's who are the people that's overlooking us? What is it?
Well, I can tell you this.
Is it reporters?
I can tell you this. I spent about 7 hours at ESPN today. And I don't know that the Suns were brought up in any of my 5 appearances.
If ESPN, Fox Sports, whatever, NBA TV, if are they the ones lacing up? Are they playing against us? Then I don't give a damn what they think. If they want to come on that court and play against us, then they'd be more than welcome to step on that court with us. But I don't give a damn what people say about me, what I deserve or what ranking it should be. Like, that don't be nothing. Like, if I'm ranked 90, rank 80, like, I'm gonna walk on the court like, hey man, make sure when you guard me tonight, hey, I'm ranked 87 on ESPN. Just know that. The dude's like, oh shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what the hell they gonna do for me?
Man, Mikal unleashed, right?
Yeah, I love it.
I love it too. I think he's, but I also, I don't know, maybe I'm in the minority, maybe I'm in the majority when I say this. I'm not sure where I stand in relation to everybody else. I'm not bothered in the least that people aren't talking about the Suns. Probably because it's still so early in the season, right?
Right.
I mean, it feels like the NBA season just started. The league itself,
yeah,
you know.
Not Christmas yet.
It's not Christmas yet. That's exactly it, right? Christmas Day is the league's big, hey, we're back, we're
right
here kind of day. And we're still a month away from that. So, yeah, no one's talking about the Suns right now as a title contender. You know why? The NBA Finals are in June of 2022.
Yeah.
They're forever and a day from now. It's fine that nobody's talking about this. It's a little
right
hypocritical that, you know, if it were the Lakers, people would be talking. If it were the Nets, people would be. But, you know, it's November. It's fine. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, and I get it. And I think because you're in this industry, you understand that better than most. And therefore, I would say you're probably in the minority with that mindset. You know, just coming off a finals run and 14-game streak and the guys that's on this team, Booker being a superstar, CP3 being a future Hall of Famer, DA, right? So why? I mean, we have marketability. Why aren't we talking about the Phoenix Suns more, right? And so from a fan perspective, like, man, what's going on? Is it a bias? Why not? And so I would say you're definitely probably in the minority. And for whatever reason, I don't get it. I don't understand it. You know, even when I was playing myself and I was up in Buffalo and we had some superstars, you know, Tre'Davious White, one of the best corners in the game, Josh Allen, you know, winning. It still feels like, you know, Diggs is up there. It feels like you have to pull teeth just to get people to look at you. And so it's something about the market. It doesn't move the needle for whatever reason. I don't understand it, but it's just the nature of the beast.
I loved, man, we talked about this earlier in the show, and I loved the distinction you made between, like, there's two, like, different things going on here right now.
Oh, yeah.
One of them is just flat-out disrespect. You know, it's just flat-out, oh, yeah, you guys aren't good, and here's the reason why. There's a difference between that and just people not talking about you, right? And, like, we were talking about the Cardinals earlier. People are giving the Cardinals their respect in the sense that if you look at the power rankings, they're 1, 2, or 3 in just about every single one. But are the Cardinals really getting the respect that comes with that, right? Like, in terms of, like, if, like, put a proverbial gun to my head and make me pick who I think is going to be in the Super Bowl.
Packers.
Who's picking the Cardinals? Right, right, exactly. Who's picking the Cardinals? Who's picking the Cardinals? And that is sort of the thing that I think is the difference between, you know, the Suns. People aren't talking bad about them. They're just not talking about them.
Yeah.
Whereas the Cardinals, they're highly thought of in the power rankings, but I don't think people really think they're a Super Bowl contender, and that feels kind of disrespectful.
Yeah, but it's rooted in a lack of trust, right? So it's a quarterback league, and so I'm explaining. I don't agree with it, but this is why people do it, because they talk about it all the time. You think about the other teams that are outside of maybe Dallas, because Dak hasn't won really in the playoffs or have won a championship, but you think about Aaron Rodgers, you think about Tom Brady, right? Those guys and those teams and what they've done and what they've proven. And so if you have to pick a team when the playoffs, because it does shift, right, there's essentially three seasons in the NFL. You have preseason, you have your regular season, and playoffs, where things shift, and most people go off of what they can trust. And so, I'm going to put you right now in the power rankings because you're the only two-loss team left and you're playing good football, but I don't know what we're going to get from Kyler, you know, in the moment, you know, when he's paired up against one of these other guys.
It's so funny you talk about the trust thing, because yesterday Gambo and I were having a conversation about the AFC. Who do you like in the AFC's all jumbled up. Who do you think? What do you think? And I'm not trying to throw him under the bus here, but I don't even know if he knew he was doing this. He's like, you know, I think I like Kansas City. I think I like Kansas City coming out of the AFC. And looking back on it now, I'm like, yeah, because you trust Patrick. Patrick Mahomes has done it.
Yep.
It's a lot easier to think he can do it again. Mm-hmm. And so your default position, you tend to pick the teams that have done it before, right? Or in the NFC, same thing. The Bucs and the Packers are going to get all the love. Why? Because they got Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback.
Right.
And if you got a quarterback, and I hate to make it specific to that position, but if you got a quarterback who's never done it before, you're always going to have those trust issues until they give you a reason to believe, right?
Yeah,
until they
exactly.
do it in those big moments, which is why your default position, probably Kansas City comes out of the... Well, why? Based off of what?
Right.
You know, how they've played this year? They've been better as of late, but, you know, look at some of the teams they're playing. I don't know, man. It's just, it's a lot easier to pick teams that have those established guys who have done it before because you trust them a little bit more.
Right. I mean, they've been there, they've done it, and you just feel comfortable. If I have, like you said, a proverbial gun in your head, if I got to pick, my life depends on, I'm going to go with somebody I trust versus unknowns. But what I've liked about, you know, talking about the Cardinals, they've checked every box. Every concern that I've had, you know, outside of they still haven't figured out how to stop the run consistently.
Yeah.
But every other thing, they're finding a way to win in those moments, right? And, you know, not having their coach, Kyler being out. COVID hits the team weird, or they have an ugly start in Jacksonville, or whatever it is, they find ways to win. And so that has pushed me in the opposite direction to where I would say I actually trust this team a lot more, and I actually believe that given once they get to the playoffs that they'll check the box again, because that's all they've been doing throughout this season if you really have been able to watch them.
How how does a team that is winning handle a bye week and all that winning is interrupted? How should they handle a bye week? The roadmap to winning when you don't play, coming up next with Lorenzo Alexander filling in for Gambo here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Back here with you on the Burns and Gambo Show, Lorenzo Alexander is filling in for Gambo here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station on this, the day before Thanksgiving. Everybody be careful out there. I'm sure the airport's jammed. I'm sure the roads are jammed. Everybody trying to get out of town. Hopefully we're keeping you company right now as you're driving around wherever you're headed for the Thanksgiving holiday. Let's get an update on our Twitter poll question of the day today with Eric. He's standing by on the other side of the glass.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update presented by Sanderson Ford.
What are we thankful for when it comes to the newcomers here in the Valley, right?
Oh, we're thankful for a lot of things and a lot of players as well. A couple different comments that aren't on this poll, but the official poll is, which new addition to Valley sports are you most thankful for? The options are Zach Ertz, JaVale McGee, James Conner, and J.J. Watt.
Yeah, mine is JaVale McGee, hands down. What he was able to do when D.A. was out, bringing the energy, and actually what he's continuing to do as far as his production and play on top of the impact that he is having on D.A. himself, right? And that is going to be long-lasting after JaVale leaves this organization, the impact that he had on D.A. to help him create or become his best version of himself.
Yeah, it's a real compelling argument, and I got to admit, I'm kind of rethinking my choice.
Yeah.
I think if JaVale McGee helps kind of show the way for DeAndre Ayton to the level of aggressiveness that he should play out there on the court, then he's going to end up being the right answer, right, to all of this,
because
it unlocks DeAndre Ayton, the best version of DeAndre Ayton. For now, I voted James Conner. I'll stick with that.
You don't sound too happy.
Cheer up, Burnsy. You're on the side of the people.
I'm not always about going with the majority. I don't mind being part of the minority on this one, but I still think James Conner has had a heck of an impact. And if J.J. Watt were still healthy, I think he'd hands down get it. But I'm going to go James Conner. What's the survey say on this one?
Well, James Conner is leading with 49.4%. In second place with 19.9% is JaVale McGee. Then Zach Ertz at 17.3% and J.J. Watt at 13.3%. A couple comments for Landry Shamet and Rodney Hudson as well.
Yep.
Oh, I forgot about Hudson.
Yeah, Hudson's a big one.
But I figured y'all as an offensive lineman, I didn't want to bring him up and put another call. We had such an issue trying to figure out the guys. I didn't want to throw another person in the call.
Oh, I forgot about Roddy Hudson.
Yeah. He might be the biggest talent
upgrade. But he's been hurt, you know, missed a couple of things with COVID, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think he's kind of been lost in the shuffle.
Was it COVID? Was he out with COVID?
It might have been a close call. I'm not sure. Maybe it was a rib. I know it was an injury. I wasn't sure what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah. So
you should have brought him.
Kind of forgot about him.
I probably would have put him in there.
Over who?
Probably JJ. Just because he's been injured too, or at least is injured now. I think the moral of the story is there's a lot to be thankful for if you're a Valley sports fan.
Steve Keim, you know, just what he's been able to do with this organization.
Steve Keim and James Jones in there, too. Yeah.
There have been a couple games this year. The Seahawks game was one of them. The 49ers game a couple weeks ago was another. Man, that's a Steve Keim game. Mm-hmm. Whether it's Colt McCoy, whether it's James Conner,
right,
whether it's Marcus Golden, right? I mean, all of these deals that he's been able to – some of these games have been – Steve Keim has had, you talk about, I don't know if anybody has had a better bounce back performance over the last calendar year than Steve Keim, right? I mean, like, given where he was with the fan base and the questions about him and his roster building, where he was a year ago to where he is now.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's had a better 2021 than Steve Keim.
Yeah, when it cures all. And he's always been, you know, steady, you know, with the deals and bringing in guys with the trades and identifying that bottom half of the roster, which he's really good at, because when I was there, those guys were all constantly turning in and turning out, you know, trying to find that diamond in the rough, finding that deal, identifying talent. And so it's really cool to see it to kind of come into play where it's really helping this team stay at the top, right, and win those critical games.
All right, so Lorenzo, and that's the poll question. You can find it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page. One word, at Burns and Gambo is where you can find it. I want to play the soundbite for you. This is from Jordan Hicks, and this is after the game on Sunday. Cardinals are in the bye week. They won't play again until a week from Sunday when they take on the Bears. Seems like a good time for the bye. Everybody's hurt. Kyler's hurt. Hop is hurt. Another week for them to get back. A week for Rodney Hudson to heal up with his ribs injury. And yet Jordan Hicks, though, was asked the question if this team needed the bye, and Jordan kind of hesitated a little bit.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think so. This, the way we're playing, how this locker room feels right now, obviously it'll be nice to be healthy and get guys back, and but, you roll the ball out there, and we go out there, we're ready to go. And, that's the mentality of this team. It doesn't matter who we're playing. It doesn't matter when we're playing. It's about us. It's always about us.
You hear the hesitation in his voice. Yeah. What do you think about that?
I don't know if he quite believes it. It sounds good, right? Momentum. You want to get out here and keep playing. But this is a hard game. And from my perspective, I'm thinking about the run that we're going to have to make. And so you need a break. And so I think he was, playing to the fact of a little bit of just the rhythm we have right now, coming off of a win, and let's get another one. We're playing really good football right now. But you do need it, and it's essential to get these guys back. I would say the worst thing about having the bye right now, maybe to his point, is maybe it's another week that Kyler Murray isn't playing, right? Regardless if they actually had a game or not, because the longer he's out, you just get rusty as a player. Now you have to come back in and find that rhythm again.
Yeah.
That's hard.
He is going to be fans are going to have to temper their expectations a little bit when Kyler comes back. He's not going to be Kyler.
Right, he's not going to be back in his bag he was doing initially, kind of coming out off the preseason, just the way he started. I would be shocked if he does. It would be great, but I think there is going to be a little bit of a growth spurt, I guess, in that he has to get back to that form as far as conditioning, right, being with rhythm, the feel that he was playing with, because those are things that you kind of build up through the preseason and then those first couple of weeks of the season, which other guys have been doing while he's been sitting on the sideline.
Yeah, I think the other thing with Jordan Hicks, too, and I cheated a little bit. That soundbite was like right after he got off the field on Sunday, right?
So, he was on a high.
He was on a high, right? He's on the high of, we just got to keep playing. Well,
right.
He just beat Seattle by double digits on the road, right?
Why not? Let's keep going,
yeah,
baby.
Let's keep going. I bet, and I don't know Jordan.
Should have asked Monday morning.
Exactly, right? Like, I don't know Jordan nearly as well as you do, but I bet if you ask that same question to Jordan Hicks like 24 hours later, on second thought, I'm glad we've got the week off, you know how it is. You get off the field after a game like that, you're as high as a kite, man. You got that adrenaline pumping, and there's nothing you think you can't do.
Right.
Yeah, I bet he's very happy they're off.
Oh, yeah. Wake up, man. I didn't fall on my shoulder yesterday, did I? Man, what is going on?
How much do you – okay, you've played 11 games without a bye. How much does your body hurt right now? You're a football player.
You're right. You callous yourself to a lot of it, right? Mentality, you kind of just push through things that generally would bother most individuals, but you are in a state of fatigue and shock. And I mean, it's just part of the game. But guys are dealing with something, whether it's an ankle, the toe, COVID toe, or your neck is sore. Whatever it may be, guys are dealing with something, and that's why you're constantly rehabbing. I'm trying to be proactive, trying to minimize that. So cold tubs, hot tubs, chambers, whatever it is, treatment to make sure that you can kind of maintain that level of pain that you're feeling.
Does a week off make that go away?
It doesn't, but it definitely helps as far as getting additional days of recovery. Because normally, especially as you get older, that recovery time extends out. And so, for me, by the end of the year or by the end of my career, Saturday is when I started feeling better. And so if you have a couple of older guys or some guys nicked up, to extend that recovery time up to allow the body to just take a breath definitely helps. And then also just to recharge mentally, because you've been locked in, watching film, grinding, ignoring the pain, right? Dealing with adversity, whatever that means. To get a breath just to recharge – exhale, much like when you take your vacation right before the football season starts, right?
okay,
now I'm back in. I'm ready to go back in for this long haul to finish off the season.
Yeah, I was talking with Zoe about during one of the breaks with Vinny about how for the first time this year we took our summer vacation, just my wife and I, that week right before football season started. Oh man, that was great.
Yeah.
It was great because it's like, okay, you know, and it's like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm a player. I'm not. But from what we do, it's a grind, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we're working hard every single day during football season. And to be able to take that last little breath before the season starts, man, I want a vacation that weekend. You know, like that is the time to get on vacation because, yeah, you just get that nice rest before you go out there. So when we come back, Zoe's filling in here on the Burns and Gambo show for Gambo. It might be a week off for the Cardinals. It is not a week off, obviously, for the rest of the NFL. There are some really good games this weekend, and there are some others that look like they're good games, but they're really not. We'll talk about the big ones and how it might impact the Cardinals coming up next here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Gambo's got the day off here on this Wednesday. Thanks for hanging out with us. Lorenzo Alexander's filling in here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. The NFL and the Cardinals obviously off. And so we get a little vacation from them to kind of take a look around the rest of the league. And as it turns out, it's a good weekend for that. There are some very compelling matchups this weekend. There's the stat, and I mentioned this to Zoe earlier, and his eyes kind of got wide when I mentioned it because it sounds good. It sounds like, oh, wow, this is a really big deal week here. 9 games between teams that are 500 or better. That's the most such games in week 12 or later since 1970. So, wow, this many good games this late in the season. Then you start to look at it and you realize that not all of them are that great. Steelers and the Bengals, okay, 5-4-1 versus 6-4.
Yeah.
That's okay. The Chargers and the Broncos, that's 6-4 versus 5-5, right?
Right.
That's okay. But there are some good games this weekend.
Right. And to go back to the Steelers-Bengals game, the only reason why I would tune into that just to see the changing of the guard a little bit.
Yeah.
Burrow and Mixon and them overtaking the Steelers finally, just to see that because they're just a fun team to watch. Chase out there. So it's just they are a good young team to watch.
I do enjoy watching Joe Burrow a lot.
Yeah.
Like I think he and the thing he's got going with Ja'Marr Chase right now, it's I know it's kind of hit some rough patches the last month and a half or so. He's a good young quarterback. Mm-hmm. I do enjoy watching that team quite a bit. They're a lot of fun.
Yep.
But the big games this weekend, there's a couple tomorrow. You got the Cowboys taking on the Raiders. First of all, you got the, as Zoe said earlier, you got the Lions and the Bears in the morning. And it's like,
right.
Okay.
Tradition. You know. It's tradition, so they got to play.
Look, that's the game.
Right.
That if mom's in the kitchen and she needs some help, go help her on that one. Go help her during the Lions.
right.
I mean, you know, if there's something around the house that you can do, go do it during Lions Bears because you're not going to miss a whole lot there. The Cowboys taking on the Raiders tomorrow afternoon. Cowboys are 7-3. That's kind of one to watch because they're one of the teams the Cardinals are kind of competing with for one of the top spots, the top spot in the NFC, and how they do. Last week they struggled against Kansas City badly, right? And which was kind of a surprise because Kansas City's defense playing better as of late, but the quality of competition wasn't all that great. They, you know, I know they didn't have Amari Cooper, and I know they lost CeeDee Lamb. They held their own against that Dallas offense in that game. I was a little surprised by
that. Yeah, they did. We talked about this earlier about a different topic, but I started Dak knowing that they were paying the Kansas City Chiefs in my fantasy league, and I look up, and he has minus 0.6 points. I'm like, what is going on here? So it's just I don't know. You know, Dak missed some time, had a bad game, then played really well, and then didn't have a great game last week. I know they didn't run the ball particularly well, you know, with Zeke, and I think they need to kind of get back to that and then go off the play action, not just rely on Dak. And I get that he got paid and he's a quarterback, but If they can rely on the run game, they may have a better shot of beating the Raiders, because they didn't look typically well versus the Bengals last week and Joe Mixon, the way he was able to exploit their defense.
Do you find that a lot of former players play fantasy football?
More guys do, and the only reason why I'm playing is this is my son's team, who's seven. He has, like, he's all in. He has about eight teams, and I'm exaggerating a little bit. And I just happened to get stuck with this one, and then I was like, I ain't going to play this. And then I got beat, and then I got competitive. My eight-year-old beat me, and so now I'm kind of sucked into it. And I actually enjoy it. I got to remember, because they play, a lot of teams play Thursday this week. Let me get my stuff together. But I would say a lot of guys do play more than you would think.
Yeah.
Play fantasy.
The reason our mutual friend Ron Wolfley, the other day, it was National Take a Hike Day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And it meant to be for hiking, like, you know, go out and go hike a mountain somewhere.
Yeah.
But Wolfley took it literally and said, man, who would I like to tell to take a hike on National Take a Hike Day? Fantasy football owners, I would tell you to take a hike. He hates it. He hates fantasy football. Just absolutely just despises it. And so I was kind of curious to talk to another former player. Do you hate it as much as he does? Because you don't seem to hate it that much.
I hate it when fans take it too far and, hey, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Or hit a guy up on Twitter because of it. But I love it in the sense that it keeps me engaged in watching people that I typically wouldn't, or in understanding who's around the league and who's doing what.
Yeah.
So that's really the cool aspect of it. But I used to always hate when fans just took it to another level. Like, I'm not out here trying to make plays.
Yeah. Thursday Night Football tomorrow on Thanksgiving is the triple header. It's the Bills versus the Saints. Saints have lost three straight, and I don't think they're going to have Alvin Kamara for tomorrow's game.
Yeah.
They've since Jameis has gone out, they got that nice win with Trevor Siemian for the first game. They really hit the wall since then. That team looks like it's starting to slide out of the playoff picture.
The hinges are coming off a little bit, especially with the injuries, especially right now at this point in the season. And not having a solid quarterback, you know, with a team that had, you know, a really good chance to maybe make some noise.
Yeah.
You know, but it's part of it. Everybody goes through some adversity. He's got to be able to weather the storm, but I don't know if they're going to be able to do it, especially with the Bills coming off a loss. I know that team is going to want to make a statement, get back on track, find their identity, because they have the Saints and they have obviously the Patriots, who have overtaken them now as far as the AFC East champion or division leaders right now.
Yeah, it's been a shock to see Buffalo kind of come back down to earth, to think that they're the seventh seed right now in the AFC. I mean, that's now, I don't think they're going to stay there. I think they're going to be
fine, it's going to be interesting, because the Colts beat them. The Colts are not even in the playoffs right now, right? So if they continue to win, they have to figure out, they have to beat New England. If they can beat New England, which is hard, twice, divisional game, the way they're playing right now, which who also has a big game this weekend as well, it's going to be tough, because they put themselves in a spot where they've lost to Jacksonville. You know, they lost to the Steelers early. They just got, you know, embarrassed a bit by the Colts. And so they've put themselves in a spot where I think they can win the division, but if they don't, they can still find a way, you know, to maybe make it as a wild card.
Yeah, the other big games this weekend, those are the games tomorrow. The big games this weekend you're going to want to keep an eye on. Two of them directly impact the Cardinals. The 7-3 Tampa Bay Buccaneers are at the Indianapolis Colts.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned the Colts. They're red hot right now. They're going to be bringing that Jonathan Taylor-led run game to State Farm Stadium on Christmas Day to play the Cardinals. That might be a chance for you to kind of pick up another half game if you're the Cardinals on a competition, you know, competitor in the NFC.
Yep.
Rams-Packers, we talked about this earlier. We both think that the right play here if you're a Cardinals fan is to root for the Rams in this game, thinking that you still have advantages over them even if they win the NFC West, whereas the Packers, you'd like to see a little bit, as much separation as you can possibly get, right, with Green Bay. If
you're
it gives
you the best of both worlds, because with the Rams, you still control your destiny. You've already beat them once.
Yep.
You know, they obviously have to come to you now and play December 12th here, and you can beat them again. But you don't play the Packers again. They've already beat you, right? So it allows you to have the best of both worlds. I don't like to see somebody in my division win, but it helps me in the long run, because getting that number one seed and having another bye week is essential. Typically, you know, and we've seen teams like Tampa Bay do it, and it's a couple other teams not have that bye week and win, but it raises your chances of getting to the championship game or the Super Bowl significantly.
And then finally, one last big game from the AFC this weekend, and it is a big one: 8-3 Tennessee versus 7-4 New England. That's a big game in the AFC.
Yeah, and we kind of talked about this earlier, as far as you know, Henry no longer being in the mix with the Titans, and them not quite looking like who they were. You know, they figured out how to kind of stay afloat these last couple of weeks, but the Patriots are defensively are just playing on another level. And I can guarantee you, Bill Belichick, he always does it. He takes away your best option and forces you to play left-handed, as I mentioned earlier. And so I think they're going to try to make Tannehill win this game.
Yeah.
And they've all year been – I think they have 16 or 17 interceptions, number one defense. And so I can see them really standing up and beating the Titans.
A couple of weeks ago, if you'd asked this question, it would have been an easy answer and there wouldn't be much conversation about it. But now that we're through 11 weeks with the Cardinals and they've won two of the last three without Kyler, some are asking the question, who has been this team's MVP this season? We'll talk about that. Lorenzo filling in for Gambo here on the Burns and Gambo Show.